be wary of anybody who ever says that, here's what veterans think. Be wary of that. Because that's somebody else commandeering our identity and our story. We can tell our own story. If we can go to war, if we can deploy, if we can get our butts kicked at boot camp and all that, we can tell our own damn story.
This is SITREP, the New York City Department of Veterans Services podcast, where we aim to inform and inspire by bringing you the stories of New York City veterans, military service members, their families, and civilian supporters. I'm your host, Gabe Ramos, U.S. Marine Corps veteran and Deputy Press Secretary here at DVS. In part two of our conversation with Kyle and Richard, we talk about their work with the Black Veterans Project. The team shares with us their vision for BVP and how they hope to archive, amplify, and advocate on behalf of their community. Enjoy the show. So you talked about the Black Veterans Project. So you guys met at school, you're at SEPA. So talk to me about the Black Veterans Project. What is that exactly?
Okay, well, the mission of the project is to secure the legacy of Black veterans in the military for really as far back as we can go. And we intend to do that with two main projects, or well, two main, I guess, lines of operation, if you will, to use military terms. We're going to archive the narratives and experiences, whether they be video, written, whatever, experiences of Black service members and veterans. And then an advocacy component where, you know, we plan to examine some of the racial inequities that still exist in the criminal justice system in the military, UCMJ, and just in general across the military. I know, and actually Richard could probably speak to this a bit because I remember it was originally, you read the reports.
Yeah, right? So I'd gone to, I think in the thick of me battling my own kind of mental health, but also wanting to figure out work too. Mm-hmm. I'd went to a Department of Labor, kind of had like some kind of event of some kind, went to it, and the majority of people in the room were Black vets, older. Some of them were formerly incarcerated as well. And that struck me. And I think for me, that kind of like, sparked a light bulb in my head. I think as a policy person too, wanting to understand like, okay, there's something here. So I did some Googling and, you know, research, and then came across a couple of different reports, one from the VA talking about racialized access to VA services, but then also a report by Protecting Our Defenders, which talked about racial disparities under UCMJ. And mm-hmm. I think collectively kind of reading the numbers and then also just having kind of a historical perspective about racial disparities in the military, was able to kind of understand that there was still a thread that was tying it all together, right, that needed to be addressed. And I think second to that, existing online and being someone that's like very much a creative in the communication space, you know, in part in doing my research, like it was almost really difficult to find just Black veteran narratives online, or veteran narratives to begin with, but most of the face of the veteran experience is white male, straight, you know, for the most part. So I think for me, in some respect, what I was able to find was really from the lens of like, we're so proud to have served as Black vets, which I mean, I think is fair and good, but I didn't feel like it was balanced and honest from what my experiences were.
And there's no nuance.
And what I had seen, and there was like a lack of nuance. And I think in some respect, I know these stories to be so incredibly interesting and nuanced, and I just didn't see that depicted in that way. Mm. And so to me, it was just like, okay, how do I start to, one, you know, as someone who aspires to be a historian, I want to go and pursue a PhD eventually, but I think this was like a project that I felt like I wanted to start to pursue now. How did I want to start to tackle that and kind of help to cultivate a comprehensive kind of veteran archive? Because it seemed to me to be a relatively scattered kind of archive right now, and be able to capture these more racialized experiences that veterans had gone through, that speaks to kind of like the current, the historical inequities, but also the current inequities. And then second to that, just kind of do work that's engaging, that captures the experiences of current veterans that have served in you know, Iraq and Afghanistan, right, and our generation of veterans, because there's so much out there when it comes to Korean and Vietnam War veterans and World War II veterans. And, you know, it's so easy to paint that picture, but racism shows up in so many more nuanced ways, even for lack of, I'm sorry, repeating the same word, whatever. Ran out of words. But still, like, you know, an understanding that, like, I think with the rise of Trump, having a very acute understanding of, you know, how media can play as a form of propaganda, but also as a means and a mechanism to educate people.
Absolutely.
And so realizing that, like, if us as Black veterans wanted to tackle these issues in a substantive way, but also to engage the public, we had to do it in a way that was, you know, engaging,
right,
you know? So that's part of what it was all collectively born out of.
And it also, you know, it goes hand in hand with, you know, an effort to serve the community, because the main one of the main components that we have of this archive is that we want it to be easily accessible and pervasive. Mm. So we want people across the country, but particularly for Black citizens, to be able to tap into this and understand our history. Mm. You know, because like Richard was saying, you know, the history, veterans already, we're used a lot. You know, like people love to tell us what we think. And this project is important in us taking control of our story and taking agency over our identity and being able to say, you know, there's a lot of us. Right. And here's what this group thinks, you know, and within that, seeing the diversity in what we think and what we experienced, you know, and then being able to hand that back to our community of people who, you know, maybe didn't serve, mm-hmm. have never had an interest in serving, but maybe had a cousin who served and wanted to know about it. Or I think it would be wonderful for young men and women and people across the U.S. who are interested in serving to now have this as a resource for them to understand, you know, it's not going to necessarily be like what I see on television, and here's how I can now better understand what my experiences may be because I'm Black.
Right.
You know, so we want the community to be informed about our past and about the future decisions that they'll make.
Yeah. And I think part of why certain disparities have been able to persist is because the public isn't well informed, mm-hmm. you know. And so I think what we endeavor to do is undertake research and inevitably that tries to paint that picture in a more accessible way to the broader public.
Right.
You know,
absolutely.
And then be able to hold the military as an institution to account.
Mm-hmm. So you guys, you have this kind of grand plan. How do you go about then recruiting folks, operationalizing it? What has that or what does that look like currently?
Well, operationalizing it is, that's more my realm.
That's his realm. I'm the creative.
Right.
Yeah, so what we do is, you know, like I mentioned, the two main lines of operation are the archive,
yep.
which is I believe, the best product that we'll put out because that is the history. Mm-hmm. That is what everyone will be able to use. The advocacy component is important as well, but that is supplemented by the archive.
Yep.
But the advocacy component, which it will be us establishing 501c3 or 4, we're still getting the particulars of which one exactly we want to establish. But, you know, we have our LLC established right now for a production company to begin putting together products, which is where Richard comes in. So we're going to be, you know, just starting off with interviews with as many well-known veterans as we can, Black veterans. So, you know, we've done an interview with Mayor Dinkins, mm. Who's Montford Point Marine. And, you know, from there, we want people to see, you know, these experiences. And then, you know, maybe other veterans will be willing to share theirs as well. And then we can add that to the archive. And through that, you know, while people are checking out this archive, not only will they have these, you know, first-person stories about experiences of being Black, you know, those anecdotal stories, although anecdotal, they're all data points in a trend line that then point to the purpose of the advocacy, which is that, you know, some of these inequities still exist.
So that'll inform then kind of how you move forward with the advocacy piece.
Right.
Yeah. And within that, then we have other projects. So like Richard's going to...
So the first major project we're undertaking is a documentary film project. So there's been documentaries like... very few made about the Black veteran experience, but most of them have just kind of been in some respect to kind of account for all the ways in which Black folk have served. Mm-hmm. What this documentary endeavors to do is kind of compare and contrast a 50-year difference or a span of 50 years. So one, we want to compare and contrast the racial and social climate upon which Vietnam veterans served, and then juxtapose that to the veteran experience under Iraq and Afghanistan during the era for the Movement for Black Lives. I think mm-hmm. there are a lot of like parallels there that I think are stark, but also can then speak to a lot of the persisting disparities. And so I really modeled, I think, in some respect, was inspired by the work that's been done around prison reform. So mm. when you think about the book that Michelle Alexander wrote, The New Jim Crow, I read that when I was in Afghanistan. And so understanding that, like, that was a first step in being able to communicate a broader kind of and synthesizing a broader kind of complex schema to the broader public.
Right.
But second to that, then I think about the power of what Ava DuVernay's 13th was able to do do that built off of the work. Yep. I feel like so much of the work has already been done with a lot of these reports. I don't necessarily need to be, you know, write a book. I don't think that's the, and I also don't necessarily feel like a book about this specific issue is going to be able to engage the public in the way that I want it to.
Right.
And so I think a film is like, obviously a well-made documentary film is the best way to kind of synthesize these issues, make it visual,
more
compelling. It's provocative in some respect and more accessible. And then from there, be able to kind of leverage that engagement to the broader work of what we want to do with the archive. And I think part of what's born out of being, you know, doing a film is that you're going to have all this stuff that's like left on the cutting room floor. Because at first we were like, oh, we're just going to do a film. Like, that just makes sense. But then after we thought robustly about doing this film project, we realized if we respect veteran narratives, like, I don't want to leave all of these valuable stories on the cutting room floor. So what can we do that's thoughtful in order to think about how we archive these stories? And then realized that there wasn't really a comprehensive archive, though the federal government has one. It's kind of in this contrived online database that doesn't necessarily that accessible and definitely doesn't leverage the internet in the way that it could be leveraged in order to proliferate these stories. And so they're recognizing that, you know, well, we have these skill sets, so why not marry all of them and be able to do something and build off of generations of work? Because we're not the first one to start a Black veteran organization, right? There have been quite a few over the course of the last few decades Black veteran organizations that have begun, but I think they've largely focused on service delivery and just connecting Black veterans to service, which I think is incredibly important. But we don't intend to be a service delivery organization in any way, shape, or form. We're really about public advocacy and building this kind of digital archive so that we can leverage that to engage the public in a very thoughtful way and push policies forward.
And so you mentioned kind of working with those other Black veteran organizations. Yeah. I'm curious, have you found that there's any pushback? Are they open to it? Because I know oftentimes in the veteran space, there's kind of, you know, you're all competing for the same dollars, for the same eyeballs and ears. So how has that experience been working with those other, trying to get them all aligned in the same mission?
You know, I haven't encountered a single veteran or veterans organization that I've spoken to that hasn't, you know, thought the project's a great idea. Mm-hmm. So and so it's been a positive reception. Will that continue? I don't know. Maybe some. I mean, people complain about anything sometimes, but you know, I think in general, everyone's been, you know, excited about this.
Right.
And I remember when Richard first said, "Hey, you know what? Maybe there's something to this," and we started fleshing out what we should do. And thinking about how we're going to put this organization together, we went to a VFW in Jersey with a predominantly Black, you know, cadre or clientele, I guess. And we just kind of asked some of them, you know, like, what do you think about this? And, you know, do you guys have... And the reception was so overwhelming that to me, it really pushed me to think, like, this is important.
Right,
this needs to happen. I mean, to see a lot of these Vietnam and Korea veterans say, like I've been waiting for somebody to really kind of ask this, you know, or I've been waiting for something like this, you know, it really actually, that was a very, very powerful moment for me. And that's when I knew that I really should get involved more with this and we should make this happen.
Yeah. And I think second to that, though, there are existing organizations. Most of them are comprised of veterans that are Gulf War and prior.
Yep.
And so thinking about an organization that younger Black veterans can kind of plug into that doesn't shy away from being one progressive and thing in some respect, but also second to that, like one that is engaging mediums that are relevant to how people are receiving in information now, you know? And so I think if you don't exist on the internet in some respect, like you don't really exist now. And so if you don't have a comprehensive understanding of how to leverage digital spaces for advocacy, you're not able to achieve the kind of power and clout that you could inevitably, you know, be able to push. So I think we bring that skill set. No, I think more than anything, we really want to be collaborating in this space. You know, we're not necessarily trying to push anyone specific out.
Right.
I think there's room for everyone to be able to do this work, because ultimately it's about the service and to be of service to Black vets. So
definitely.
Yeah.
So you mentioned not being shy about, you know, kind of having a progressive viewpoint. So I'm curious, have you found or do you foresee ideological kind of, you know, political views being a hindrance in kind of recruiting folks and being part of the organization, the project, you know, getting folks on board?
I think that's where me and Kyle balance each other, because I mean, we're both like progressive, but I think Kyle takes a stance of like wanting to be a little less, I guess, politically isolating, I think, in some respect. I think for me, it's like the work is going to be the work. Right. So ultimately, it's like it's going to serve, as long as it's honest, then it'll fall where it's at. And I think ultimately with the archive being like one of the main drivers of the project, like we're collecting all veteran stories. We're not just collecting ones that had a bad experience. I had a pretty good, decent experience in the military, but also know many Black veterans that didn't. And so we want to just have like a holistic kind of vantage point when we talk about being able to capture these stories in an honest way. And I think at the end of the day, the numbers don't lie when you talk about the persisting racial disparities. And so there might be different approaches about how to address it. Mm-hmm. And so if someone wants to take a more conservative approach about how they address it, so long as we're working to address these issues, I don't necessarily, I'm not opposed to a different perspective.
No, of course not.
But I think ultimately, like, you can't shy away from the fact that these numbers exist.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
So, yeah, I think, you know, I actually think me and Richard agree more in this than, you know, I mean, because the truth is, I mean, we're talking about Black Americans.
Right.
You know, like, there's no secret about how we vote and, you know, you know what I mean? Like, we can keep it really real here. You know, like, absolutely. There's Black Americans are overwhelmingly voting for one party and have a lot of similar political, and that, but, you know, the intent of this project isn't to cater to any particular view, right? It's, we want every single Black veteran to feel that they can come and share their opinions and experiences here.
Right.
The truth is that with that, it probably will pan out with certain themes,
right?
just by virtue of the sample set,
exactly.
Right? So, and that sample set, you know, does happen to, I mean, me and Richard, we're not going to ever share, or excuse me, hide our own personal beliefs. Our beliefs are what they are, and you know, like, and I have every right to, like, you know, have my beliefs.
Of course.
But you know, if it happens that this archive, you know, it matches my beliefs, well, you know, we have to examine the sample set, right? You know, so I think, you know, it's open for every veteran. Mm-hmm. We want that to definitely be clear. But, you know, like, I'm not going to censor myself.
No.
And no one should. And that's the point of the project. Like, this is for Black veterans to bear themselves out. You know, like, let people know what you think.
Right.
And we're going to do the same thing.
Absolutely.
You know?
Right. So. And I think ultimately you're bringing folks in and you're speaking a certain valley. So you talk about equity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's something that I think should cut across all ideological sides of the spectrum. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kyle, you mentioned earlier about how you didn't necessarily receive closure from your time in the service, but you did get other things. I'm wondering if you could share what those other things were.
Hmm. You know, I don't feel like I got closure to that sense of solving a problem. Like, you know, when I said that I was scared, I was a 15-year-old and I was scared about what was going on in the world. And I wanted to be a part of a solution. I never got that solution. But, you know, I did get closure in different ways. I grew up in the military. Mm-hmm. I was 17 when I went to the Naval Academy. And, you know, my buddies at the Naval Academy, we all are, we like form together, you know. And when I see them, I see parts of my personality that rubbed off on them. And periodically I catch myself doing things that is definitely something I got from this guy or that guy or her, you know.
Right.
Like, so... I think I don't know if I can really even put a full description on what that is that I got, but because it was very like a deep informative sort of like connection to who I became and who I am now. Right.
Absolutely.
So, but what I did get, you know, is I think a good sense of discipline, a good mindset, you know, in general. You know, I'm not surprised at all that we saw this problem and we did what a lot of military members do. You know, it's like, oh, there's a problem here. No one seems to be addressing it. This should be addressed.
Yep.
Okay, let's do it. You know, it's like, you know, that sort of mindset is a very common one, I think, for people who served. I definitely got that.
And not to be presumptuous, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that, you know, you spoke so much about, you know, how you see certain qualities or certain things of yourself and others and vice versa. Mm-hmm. I think that speaks to the community, right? And so now you're home, and you're affecting change and you're wanting to bring folks into this community, make their voices heard, make them feel like they're part of that community.
Yeah.
So I would argue that that's probably that sense of community, that sense of wanting to make folks feel like they belong there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I would say also, I think that the military did give me a good chance of appreciating more my Blackness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I grew up in a town where you know, we had a pretty good, you know, population of black folk in my town. And, you know, sometimes there was a little bit of like, you know, racial tension here and there, but generally I after I left high school, went to the academy and even in the military, I felt it a lot more, you know, and I think people are really surprised by that, but I'm not exactly sure why, you know, cause the military will be the first to tell you that, yeah, we're a reflection of society. Well, right. That's the good and the bad,
yeah, exactly.
You know? So like you see some of the folks who, you know, you know, I saw a lot of Confederate flag tattoos that made me really damn uncomfortable, sure. Straight up, you know, and I saw personalities sometimes that came with those tattoos that I expected. And other times I saw personalities that I didn't expect that came with those Confederate flag tattoos.
Right.
But I tell you what, it definitely did. It caused me to really like deeply examine my blackness, and sometimes not in ways, not in times I wanted to or in ways I wanted to. It was through me feeling either rejected or assumptions made about me and all these other things. So I do think that was a big thing also that I got from it. And being, you know, there's something about being around the world and being a part of the US military, which, you know, people around the world generally just, when they think of an American, yeah. They think of a white person.
Of course.
And here I am now, and I've got the exact same gear, the exact same uniform. I got the rifle on my chest,
right.
But my skin ain't white,
right.
You know? So like, and the questions happen, you know, like, and you see it in Afghanistan, and then you also kind of, you see things out there that kind of remind you of home in bad ways too.
Yep.
You know, when you go back to, you know, the United States and you're in a predominantly black community, and then you see police forces that are predominantly white, and, mm-hmm. and it kind of strikes you as a similar thing that you saw in Afghanistan, right? So these are all things that caused me to like kind of flesh out and really like evaluate and feel my blackness now for Absolutely. The first time in my life as a growing man.
Yeah.
So
how do you connect with that?
I relate. Yeah, I mean, I think I have such complicated views, it'd be hard to kind of like talk about them all. And like right now I feel like my mind is racing now, but
no worries. Yeah. Well, I think we're probably just about running out of time. I really want to thank you both for being here. This was a great opportunity to chat with you and to obviously help spread both your individual stories and obviously the story of the Black Veterans Project. If there was one thing that you wish all military service members or veterans in New York City could know, or if there's one thing you could wish you could tell them, what would that be?
Well, I could do the shameless plug and say go to our website. that
comes at the end, right?
No,
you can do it now, too.
One thing for veterans in New York?
Yeah.
I would say there's a couple of things I said earlier. Almost every single veteran I've encountered and veterans group I've encountered thus far, I've told about this, has been warm to this idea. That extends to so many things. If you're a veteran and you're having trouble, like you could probably just email a random veteran and say, hey, I'm having this trouble. And, you know, I'd say a majority of the time they'll hit you back and be like, well, that's not what I do at all, but I know a guy, you know? So like be bold a little bit in like trying to seek help sometimes, because I will tell you, I mean, I ask for help a lot. I've never really been the type of guy to be afraid of it. Veterans do, I think they're better about giving help, especially to other veterans.
Yeah, for sure.
I would say very much the same, like don't isolate, reach out for help. I think you had someone from the New York City Veterans Alliance here. I think that I found that tool so valuable, and I've only, you know, came across it a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think from it was able to kind of see this breadth of resources that I didn't even know were there. And there is so much community out there. And I think part of it is like, as soon as I left the Army, I just wanted to run as far from it as possible. And then it's kind of like I've run in a circle and kind of run back to this veteran space, and it kind of feels like home a little bit.
Which we all do, I think.
Yeah. So yeah, run in that circle, but ultimately know that you need to just come back home a little bit.
Yeah.
And there is community here, and there are people who have shared experiences and shared values, and that ultimately want to see you through, so that you can, you know, live the healthiest, best life that you could possibly live.
What about to the folks who maybe don't have a direct connection to the military? What would you tell them?
To not be complicit in their ignorance. I think it's very easy now, especially because we have such a small amount of Americans that actually serve,
mm-hmm.
that people are just kind of like make broad assumptions about the veteran landscape or the veteran experience, or think because they have a great uncle, you know, or their grandfather served, they suddenly understand what it's like to serve now. I think it's just really important that people educate themselves. And I can't like stress that enough, of just not being like complicit, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I was going to say the same thing. There's a lot of us, and every single one of us is different. We all have our own experiences and our own opinions. And, you know, and that really, again, that's at the heart of this project. You know, like this particular is for Black Americans, but like, and to show the diversity of that group and our experience. But I mean, all veterans really. So, you know, grant us that. And be wary of anybody who ever says that, here's what veterans think. Be wary of that. Because that's somebody else commandeering our identity and our story. We can tell our own story. If we can go to war, if we can deploy, if we can get our butts kicked at boot camp and all that, we can tell our own damn story. So let us do it.
Absolutely. Well, gentlemen, it's truly been a pleasure. If folks want to get in touch with you, the organization, social media, websites, who do they reach out to? How do they reach out?
Stop by the website, you know, blackveteransproject.org. February, we're going to be doing, you know, a lot of crowdfunding for the production company, particularly for the documentary and some other short films that we're going to put together. So, you know, this is for the community. So we hope that the community will support us in this. And then Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. If you just search Black Veterans Project, we're there.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks so much for being here, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Cheers.